You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Chelsea Podcast. I'm Chaz and I have the marvellous Mooch with me. How are you, pal?
I'm good. I'm good. Much better than last week.
Well, unsurprisingly, perhaps. That was... we're speaking, obviously, in the wake of our 6-1 victory in the second leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final against Borough. And... It was a very satisfying
day.
Evening. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's what's not to love about six goals at home, which takes you to a Wembley final. Very little, I think. What is your immediate gut reaction to how the game went and the result?
Pochettino is the greatest manager on earth, and we've got some of the most talented youngsters. Everything is grosy. Everything's great.
Brilliant.
So yeah, it's a nice result. It was a game that we could enjoy and relax, and that's been rare this season.
Yeah, and I think I said to you, didn't I? It was the first time I'd relaxed. Certainly after 20 minutes or so, it was the first time I'd relaxed for a long time watching us play, which is always good. It would take a churlish person to pick holes in that, and we're two of those things. So we're going to do that a little bit. But first of all, I'm not going to be too critical, I don't think, but... how much of it was down to us being great and Borough not being great? Because, I did feel slightly sorry for them because, they were on such a hide into nothing because they're probably one of the few clubs in the country who've got a worse pound-for-pound injury list than we have in terms of first-team players having been, who are not available to them. But, even then, they were very, very... poor, I thought, after the first sort of 5 or 6 minutes aside. So do we get a lot of credit for the win, or is it all about the poverty of the opposition?
Well, I think if we took the blame for the loss, so we got to take credit for the win. We kind of knew we were still in the driving seat, second leg at home. We'd had the warning shot across the bow. We've got better squad than they do. We're in a better league. It shouldn't really be it would have been a disaster. And I think that the reactions that people were giving to the 1-0 first leg loss were the reactions that would have been deserved if we'd gone out.
Yeah.
And I think it was a bit premature.
That was a poor performance, but with a couple of... if things had gone slightly our way in a couple of significant moments, we could have come away from that having won it 3-1, even not having played very well. So it's a good point. We probably overreacted to the defeat in the first leg. So why not? Let's celebrate the fact that, you know, we did absolutely everything that was asked of us and did it pretty well.
Yeah. And I think we when we saw the team, I remember WhatsApping you, and we got Chile, you know, in a wing back position. We got Colwell in a centre back position. Mm. Surprise, surprise, we've got another injury to another wing back. we've got De Sarzi at right back. And I completely overlooked the fact that Connor was on the bench. I was like, okay, well, Mudrick's starting. And, okay, that's cool. And then was fixated completely on the back four. But yeah, I think it was a selection that many people wanted to see at the back. It was quite an attacking formation. I want to give Mudrick minutes. He didn't have the best game, but we did win 6-1. So
yeah. No, I mean, it's an interesting point though to raise. I mean, I don't know if we should read too much into it because, you know, if you're playing Broja and, you know, if we're not playing a false nine and we want to include everyone who's, you know, everyone in the sort of front six who's not injured or the midfield and the wide players, somebody was going to have to give. So if you want to play Sterling, Mudrick, Cole and Broja, then yeah, something was going to have to give. And hang on, who am I missing?
Palmer.
No, I said him. Sterling. So it wasn't Cole. But
Mudrick, Sterling.
Oh yes, okay, yeah. No, that's right. That's still six. With the three midfielders as well. So something was going to have to give there. I'm quite surprised it was Connor. But
we've got a congestion of games. You know, we've got Villa in another cup game, and then Liverpool, and it, in quick succession, and maybe we don't need to play Connor in that game. He did come on, got two assists in 20 minutes or something.
I mean, I think all I'm saying is the fact that he wasn't starting. You know, I'm hoping very much that we shouldn't read too much into the fact he wasn't starting. That I think that's the thing I bring up. We probably shouldn't, but you know, who knows? The fact that he, you know, who was hitherto our captain and probably our most consistent player all season, was the one in a cup semi-final that we needed to win, to be benched seemed a little bit odd. But as you say, let's hope it was just about resting him and bearing in mind that we've got a lot of games coming up.
I think it's got to be that because we know what Poch thinks of him. We know how integral he's been and how often he's featured. But also just thinking about this January transfer window and the lack of activity with it. And I'm kind of relaxed about Connor going anywhere because for a big money move or a big player to move in January, it's going to have to take a lot and no one's got the money. No big moves really are happening. You know, everything seems to be loans, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm fairly relaxed about the situation, I wouldn't read too much into him being benched for the first of the easiest of three games in quick succession.
No, you're probably right, and in fairness, it's been very quiet all round on the transfer. I mean, not just for Chelsea. It's as you say, there's not been really that many any big moves, sort of significantly eye catching moves at all so far. So anyway, we still have Connor, and hopefully that will continue. Going back to the game, I mean, it was a poor start. Even when we started to get control of possession, the passing was sloppy. We looked nervy. Our press when they had the ball seemed a little bit half-assed. I mean, I want to put that down to nerves. Should I? Am I right to do that? I think
it's and you know, just the start of a game of a cup final, cup semi-final. You know, at home, there was probably a bit of nerves. I don't know if that was palpable in the stadium, but we came out of it, and it was we did seem to be a bit more relaxed as the game sort of went on.
Yeah, I mean, I think once the first goal went in, that made a lot of difference. People did calm down. I mean, I just to say even probably after the first goal, I spent quite a lot of time looking at defenders on the ball, passing between each other, occasionally Enzo coming out of midfield to receive a pass and then probably pass it back. And the front players all standing in a line with lots of Borough players stood around them, again, magically waiting for that perfect pass. There wasn't an awful lot of movement. There wasn't an awful lot of, didn't look like it was a plan. We were all waiting for the magical pass. And as a consequence, we did see a few balls going in over the top. Some of them came very close to working. Some of them were just pretty useless, really. But as you said, I do think that all changed when we got the first goal. Let's talk about Chile. Came back, played in his right position.
Was
made captain for the night. What a pass for the goal, for the first goal. I feel like we've missed him so much. I think there were points even at the beginning of yesterday's game where the it was all a bit hurried, all a bit clumsy, and he and Thiago, and to a certain extent Enzo, stood out head and shoulders above everybody else because they played with maturity and they were collected in the way they did things and they knew what they were doing. And, you know, I thought his overall contribution was excellent, I thought. But, you know, he nearly scored with that header right at the beginning and then obviously contributed for the goal, the first goal, brilliantly.
Confident to sort of maraud a bit more in field.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has played, you know, as a winger. He kind of drifted into the centre and sort of won the ball in the opposition half and then had the sort of coolness to slot a brilliant pass through. And he just constantly looked like the Chile of old, which was nice.
Yeah, he was a threat, but he was also very, you know, on the ball. He was really calm and mature and doing the right things, you know, all the time. It was great. It was great to see. And it's lovely to have him back. Broja would have scored that first goal if Sterling's pass to him had been a little bit better. It was slightly behind him, I think.
Yeah, but I think also, I mean, the defender just got there before him.
Yeah.
He
was digging it out of his feet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he would have, I'm sure if it hadn't been for Housen diving in, we would have, you know, he would have turned and tucked that one away. What did you make of his game? I mean, he did show a little bit of movement, bless him. He does, you know, I like him. I'm not entirely convinced he's done enough to convince anybody that he should stay. But do you think he's on his way out of the club? There's been lots of talk about him going, and there were prices bandied around, and then those prices were dropped.
Yeah, I think
you never know how much of this is real or not.
Yeah, I think. I think if we get a sort of a marquee signing in summer, he may go, depending on Nkunku's sort of rehabilitation and performances.
Yep, fitness and performance.
But I don't think we'll get 50 million for him. I don't know if... I think we're used to, that's what we pay. That's not what other clubs pay. I think it'd be great to have him a bit longer and give him a bit more of a chance. I mean, his goal return to starts has not been great, but he's still young.
And also I think he causes some problems that the other players who might play up there, with the exception of Nkunku perhaps, don't cause. Certainly in the absence of Jackson, he is just a little bit more of a physical player, a little bit more of a handful, perhaps. I mean, I think Jackson is fast.
He does disrupt, but it's not in the same
Yeah, it's a different way. I think his is a much more physical approach, Broja. And I like his movement as well. You know, I do think he was one of the few people who were trying to make little runs, trying to sort of break the lines and what have you. So bless him. As I say, I'm not sure he's done enough that he's going to, as you say, certainly last much beyond the end of this season. But I think he's putting in a shift, and that's a good thing. And the other player I wanted to mention in the same sort of breath, in terms of someone who's a little bit unsung, but did a fantastic job last night, was Axel Disasi.
Well, the new striker.
Yeah. I mean, God. I mean, he's a talk about. I mean, he when he was playing in France, he scored more. He played a few more midfield games, I think, in France, a sort of Desailly type thing. You know, he was didn't always play centre back. He came into the midfield, sort of defensive midfielder, a couple of times, and he did bang in a few goals, as could be seen on his highlights reel before he came to us. But yeah, I just thought he was. I'm sort of more comfortable with him, if we haven't got Gusto and James, I'm sort of more comfortable with him at right back and a proper left back, whoever that might be, than Cole playing left back. I think he seems to be gaining in confidence a little bit. He is getting himself forward, and a goal and an assist in the first half. You know, it couldn't really have gone much better for him. And he's probably someone who's flown under the radar a bit, and he's probably someone who's actually taken a little bit of stick.
Yeah, which I don't think is... I mean, look, our defence as a whole has not been amazing.
No.
It's not been the best, but, you know, as far as chances conceded, I think we're up there. You know, we're not far off the top. But it's just the chances that we do concede turn into goals. But, you know, I think he was a good signing. He's been pretty consistent and as a pick for Poch, and you know, it's his first season.
Yeah, and you know, bearing in mind that you do have to adjust when you come to the Premier League, I think perhaps slightly less from the French leagues than you do from Italy or from Spain. But I mean, it's a slight. It's, you know, the paces are perhaps a little brisker over there. But, I think he's done... I mean, I think you're right. Unfortunately, the back four as a whole has clearly been prone to some very nervous moments. But it's hard to really pin anything on any one individual.
It's not been individual mistakes, really.
I just think as a unit, they need to be better drilled, don't they? But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I felt like he... is someone who was deserving of praise for last night, certainly. And perhaps, you know, hasn't had that much over the course of the season, full stop. Again, was obviously playing a role that he's not as comfortable in last night. So well done him. It took the goal brilliantly as well, I thought, yeah. At which point I said, let's make him a striker, for Christ's sake.
I think everyone thought the same thing. It was just like, we found it. We found our...
Yeah, absolutely.
Our Sutton. another defender striker.
another big handful as well.
Yeah.
So moving on perhaps to someone who had not so good a game. Misha Mudrik. I'm pretty much everything he did in that first half didn't come off. Pretty much. He had a run inside and tried a shot which was deflected and ballooned over quite early on. Couple of decent passes, but other than that, pretty much everything he tried went wrong.
Yeah, it just didn't seem to be his night. You know, sometimes you have them and it's like, okay, he was trying things, but they weren't coming off, so he was just losing the ball. It must be frustrating once it starts like that, especially when you start banging them in as a team, but you're not. I don't know what to say, really.
The thing that sort of slightly concerns me is that when he's had a little run of games, he does seem to build confidence and he does start to look like the player that we hope he can be, you know. But as soon as you leave him on the bench for a couple of games, it's like he's forgotten how to play football, or he's certainly forgotten how to play football with us. You know, it's really quite odd. And, you know, I so want him to succeed. And I think he's obviously got some talent, and he seems to be a nice lad. And I so want it to go right for him. But, you know, the fact he was hooked at half time, I mean, it made sense, but that's a big thing, you know, particularly when they're 4-0 up. You know, you might think to yourself, try and play yourself into the game, son. You know, leave him on and just let him stretch his legs and sort of try and go and express himself a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a saving of face and confidence move from Poch. You know, confidence is so important to these players, and maybe he just needed to protect him and you know, use the fact that we're 4-0 up, let's rest him as a bit of a buffer. But he didn't have a great game. But again, look, you know, we've made the investment in him. We've got 8 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if... And look, Poch can turn him into a son, probably. You know, he could be such a great direct threat. And he is someone who can change a game when he's on. We just need to make sure that he's on more than he's off, and maybe that requires him to be hooked and give him a bit more protection.
I want to see him drive at play, get on the ball and drive at players a lot more. And he was having to come a bit deep, and he's so wide. He's playing so wide, literally got chalk in his boots, you know. I still think there's a player there. But, you know, contrasting in fortunes, you look at someone like Cole Palmer, who also young, also clearly very talented, different sort of game, obviously. But, you know, he's a bloke who is clearly absolutely brimming with confidence, you know, sort of exudes it from every pore. And things are going brilliantly well for him, you know. But talk to me about him, mate, because I know we've joked about this on the show, and you know, I've not always been the most. I've always been sort of temperate in my praise for him, and I thought he had a typically Cole Palmer game last night.
Yeah,
he did. Made a couple of nice passes, quite a lot of misplaced passes, quite a lot of things that didn't come off.
That's fine.
Quite a few periods where he didn't do much, and then a couple of little tricks and two absolutely clinically finished goals.
And that's what,
which we would have loved to have seen in the first half.
That's what matters. That's all that matters is the ability to finish and create. And if he does squander possession, if he does try things and they don't come off, that's what we've been screaming for the last few weeks, saying, cool, we just want to see people try these things. If it doesn't come off, great. But when it does come off, brilliant. We need to think about what position we would be in if we didn't sign Cole Palmer and the goals that he has provided.
I want to be absolutely clear. He's clearly an integral part of the team now. He's pretty much made himself undroppable. Just for his penalty taking alone, that would almost be enough to get him in. You know, but let's be clear. I mean, he's more than this, and don't take this the wrong way, but, you know, Jorginho had a decent pass in him and could take a penalty. Mm. And, you know, so, and Jorginho got pelters. So what I'm saying is there's clearly more to him than that. What he isn't doing for me is really, and again, this is fine because he's 20. He's not taking the game really by the scruff of the neck. He's not being as involved as I would like him to be. He is, when we say trying things, I mean, when I think of trying things, I'm talking about, you know, there is some, you know, some audacious passes on there or some that may, you know, have only a 50% chance of coming off. I'm not even necessarily talking about those. I'm talking about just some poor passing. But all the team are guilty of that. I think Cole is a very good young player. Again, I'm wary. I mean, he was Gary Neville's man of the match last night.
Has he shagged your sister or something? What?
She'd be very pleased at being being even older than I am. Now, I'm not sure her husband would be too pleased. He's. No, I mean, look. All I'm saying is, I have nothing against him, and I think he's a very good player. Could potentially become a great player. I just don't quite see, again, he was Gary Neville's man of the match last night. He wasn't man of the match for me, but you know, I mean, he'd scored two goals and you know, in many instances this season, not least the Luton game, doing that alone would have been enough to make him man of the match. I didn't think he was.
Who was your man of the match out of interest? Who did you feel was?
I think it would have been Chile.
Yeah.
If he'd have stayed on for longer, it definitely would have been Chile. But other than that, it was between Enzo and Disasi. I mean, I thought Cole had a decent game. Don't get me wrong. He did a lot of good things. He did a few bad things, like all of our players have been doing all season. All I'm saying is that this, you know, the club put out the little thing where he did that sort of, he backheeled, nutmegged that guy on the byline. He was sort of not on the byline, sort of like out on the wing, and yep. he went past the player by nutmegging him backwards. Mm. Very neat and tidy. But the very next thing he did was blast across miles away from anyone. And I'm not all I'm saying is, the more we kind of go, oh, look at all this, oh, look at how magical Cole Palmer is, look how wonderful he is, look how incredible he is. You know, actually, what we want to see is him integrating the team, being present in all the throughout the game. That's what I want to see anyway. And maybe I'm just picking holes.
Yeah, I think you've got to put things in perspective, and you've got to give this kid a bit of a break and you know, let him give him his fanfare and give him the confidence, and
look, I'll leave it. I mean, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm genuinely not trying to be harsh to him. I like him. I think he's a good player. I just feel like the drooling over him, I can't quite understand. But he's doing really well for us.
Drool over someone, and it's not going to be more.
That's it. It's not going to be. This is the thing I've got to keep. You know, this is the thing I've also got to keep in my mind is that, you know, compared to Mudrick, he's having an amazing season, and I give Mudrick a pass. You know, so I'm really not trying to. I'm not dissing him. I think he's a great little player. I think he's doing what is expected of him at his age.
First season. He's been with us months. So
absolutely, I'm not. You know, I don't. I'm not going. What I'm definitely not doing, everybody, listeners, is saying, I don't get it. He's not that good. I don't understand. Yeah. All I'm saying is he's not a god. He don't put too much pressure on him. He's doing what he should be doing, and he's doing a little bit more than that, and that's great.
And what I'm saying is, all hail Cole Palmer.
Okie dokie. Moving on.
Yeah.
So just going back briefly, I mean, all right, so the game, I thought we, from there on in, really, we dominated the game. I mean, it didn't surprise me very much that they scored. They managed to score at the end of it, but I thought we sealed it pretty well. And what was lovely to see, there was some, when I watched the thing, there was some tunnel footage after the game, and the guys did look, you know, like really pleased to be to be in a final, and we're off to Wembley again. How exciting is that?
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, look, if we can get some silverware in Poch's first season, and it's just a turnaround of the sentiment around the club.
Yeah.
From three wins on the bounce and a dodgy first leg result to Borough, and it's all doom and gloom, and all of these sort of YouTube channels and Twitter sort of. Anger baiting sort of channels, we need to get rid of him, blah blah blah, and you know, the second leg, we're back to singing his praises. If he wins a trophy, we're over the moon. From compared to what was happening last season, we can't really complain. If we can get a bit more consistency in the league, we're over the moon. If we can bet one or two decent signings that fit into the four transfer window plan and have a bit more of a delivered philosophy, great. I still don't think Poch is like, you know, he's not quite there yet. We don't have the finished article there. I don't feel we're as inventive as we should be. But again, we're 8 months into the season with Poch.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, what we have to bear in mind is that we're at Wembley again at the end of probably the worst 18 months the club has endured, certainly since the early 90s. So from that point of view, it's actually quite remarkable. I mean, you know, I hope we don't just rest on our laurels and say, you know, well, we got to Wembley. You know, we, as you say, the win will make such a difference to the club and to Poch and to probably the confidence of a lot of the younger players as well. I mean, it's going to be a lot to ask. Let's not kid ourselves. It looks like it's going to be Liverpool, and it is going to be a big ask. But we'll focus on that a little bit closer to the time, I hope.
Hey, look, we had a good, decent opening game of the season with them. They have gone on to bigger things.
Improve, quite, yeah. Well, Salah has picked up an injury at AFCON. Whether or not he will still be, whether it's a significant injury, I don't know if he's going to be expected to be playing in more of Egypt's games. But
I'm hoping Egypt.
It looks like he might be, because otherwise they would have brought him home, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we got a decent chance in that game. I don't think Liverpool I don't think they're unbeatable, and I think they will give us space. So we'll just have to see how things go. But yeah, I mean, and that's probably being slightly unfair to Fulham, who do have one half to turn it around. So let's go on to having a look forward to the Villa game, which is coming up very quickly, hard upon our Borough win. Do you think the fact that it's Friday, do you think the fact that we played Tuesday night is going to be a good thing for us or a bad thing? Bearing in mind that obviously Villa have had whatever it is, you know, nearly 2 weeks off.
It's we're going to be a bit more match fit, I suppose. I don't know if there were any significant injuries after the game. Tuesday to we should be able to deal with that. It may have an effect, but it's not anything that too significant.
Yeah, I mean they'll have had 12 days, so they played on the Sunday after the day after we beat Fulham.
Who did they play?
Played that day. They played Everton, drew 0-0 away.
And we're home again.
Yeah, it's a funny old, I mean, you know, at one point, as I think I've said to you before, I've got a mate down here who's a big Villa fan, and I sort of, from his point of view, I sort of look out for them, and, you know, obviously I'd rather see them win the title than any of the current contenders. But I don't think it's going to happen. And every time I think they're going to sort of kick on and sort of take the season by the scruff of the neck, it flops a little bit. So they've had a real mixed bag. I mean, they did beat Arsenal in December, but it's been a bit mixed since then. They drew to Sheffield United at home, which is can't be considered a good result. Beaten by Man U away, snuck past Burnley at home. Burnley had a player sent off, snuck past Borough in the cup, third round of the cup, and then only drew to Everton away. So, and I thought we were a little bit, to be fair, in the home league game, I thought we were a little bit unlucky. We were, I thought we were the better side until Malo Gusto got sent off, and you know, and that really changed the game. What do you think about this one? I mean, given that we've just played and come off a big win, we've got our eye back in, if you like, do you think it will go our way, this one?
In my heart, of course, it's going to be another 6-1 drubbing. But in my head, I know that this Chelsea team giveth and taketh. So,
yeah. The highs, the lows.
Yeah,
and it's a roller coaster, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
It's we're due another wake up call, and hopefully we'll have that. If we have that wake up call in the FA Cup fourth round, and then we go on and do the business against Liverpool on the 31st, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who do you see being in your team for this one? Are we going to stay fairly similar to? I mean, it might be that Sterling starts on the left and
Connor,
Johnny or Cole on the right, or we put Cole in the middle. Connor comes back in. I think Brogy will start.
I don't think Modric will.
No, I don't. Sadly.
So it's. I mean, how far is Nkunku away? We don't know. Do not talk about this anymore.
Oh man, I mean, I've sort of, you know, every time I see a thing pop up on MSN saying, you know, Pochettino discusses Nkunku's possible comeback date, I think I'm not even going to look because I know it's going to say, yeah, he's not ready yet. I don't know. I mean, I don't think. I mean, he certainly won't start. Let's put it that way.
No.
So
I think we'll see the return of Connor, and I think that will be the only change. I think Brogy will probably start again, it'll be pretty much be the same side, but with Connor at the head of that sort of midfield three potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Enzo, to me, is starting to really look like, again, the player that we hoped he would be. And I hope he can be as involved and as busy. They've got John McGinn's a very busy player in the Aston Villa midfield. And I think he needs to sort of match him and be as much of a threat and be creative. So I very much hope that that's the midfield three. Ollie Watkins is obviously a bit of a danger man for them, but I think, you know, that's all going to be about cutting off supply lines, I think. But what about scores, mate? Let's cut down to the nitty gritty. Heart and head.
My heart says a 1-0 win. My head says we might lose this. I just think that, you know, we've got the sort of yo-yo effect and it might be a 1-0.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for a 1-1, and I like our chances over penalties, so I'm going to say we'll sneak through on pens. But we will touch base again after the game, mate, and we'll talk next week. Lovely as ever to speak to you, and keep the blue flag flying high.
Wicked. Cheers, man.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.